Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Today, we want to welcome you, and especially those of you who are watching us online. Thanks for joining us. We're so glad that you've been with us, and hopefully God has touched you in a powerful way as we have been just lifting him up. Well, it's good to be back. My wife and I, we have just returned from a time of vacation a couple weeks away. We went to South Dakota for my nephew's graduation. We saw a lot of other family, and then we went to Oklahoma, where our daughter from Texas came up with our twin grandsons, and we got to spend a few days with them. And that was a lot of fun. Those little guys have grown. They're 9.5 months now, and they're almost ready to walk. And it was a blast. We had so much fun with them, and so we just counted a blessing to have had that time away. And I wanted to thank Pastor Daniel and Pastor Zach for filling in while we're gone, and also Pastor Zach as he ministered the word. He did a great job, didn't he? Yes, he did. The I Believe series. So, well, as we were visiting our family back in the Midwest, we went to my brother-in-law's place. He's a farmer, okay? He's actually a pork producer. He has hundreds of heads of pigs, of hogs, and several hundred acres of crops. And this summertime is a major season of growth. They hadn't had rain in about 3 weeks, and he was praying for rain because what is happening right now is going to significantly impact the harvest. And so they're praying for that. And this is a major time of growth. And as we are in this kind of this time of growth agriculturally, I want us to just focus on the topic of growth, growing in our walk with God these next couple of weeks and talk about that. So today we're going to begin a series that's called All Speed, okay? Accelerating spiritual growth. And you say, what is all speed? Well, wait to the latter part of the message and then everything will become clear, okay? But you can turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to be looking at. And we do have your sermon notes online for YouVersion. I apologize that the physical copies aren't there this week, but we do have them online at YouVersion. You can go to the event page, and then the sermon notes are all right there. As we take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, that chapter is commonly known as the growth chapter. I looked in several study Bibles that I have, and these were some of the headings that were listed for chapter 1. It said that this chapter is called Fruitful Growth in the Faith, Growth in Christ, Growth in Christian Virtue, the Growth of Faith, and Growing in Grace. So this chapter really deals with you and I growing in our relationship with Jesus. And for those of you who are watching online, or those of you who are here with us live, and maybe you've got questions about God, you've got questions about Christianity, this is a great time. You're catching us really at the perfect time because this morning's message is going to talk about how you and I can learn the basics of Christianity. That's what we're going to focus on today, is kind of the nuts and bolts of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So we're going to pick it up in 2 Peter chapter 1. Make sure you're there. And first of all, how many of you like flowers and plants? Many of you do. My wife loves flowers and plants. My daughter loves flowers and plants. We have lots of plants and flowers landscaped around our house and also pots on our back patio. And we've got a graphic up here on the screen. And on the left, there is one plant. It's like this flowering cactus. It's really a cool plant. I've never seen one like it before. And then we've got some other plants on the right there. And that's just a fragment of the plants that we have around our house. But here's the thing. All these plants are different because the cactus does not require a whole lot of water, whereas the plants on the right, they take a lot of water. You have to understand the plants so that you can know how to treat them for them to be able to grow. There are some plants that like shade, other plants that like sun. And so what we need to do is we need a good understanding of the plants if we want the plants to grow. And in like manner, we need to understand what faith in Christ is all about before that we can see faith grow in our lives. So as we take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to see that Peter does that. He's going to take the first few verses to kind of lay out the basic understandings, the underpinnings of Christianity. It begins in verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So Peter, the disciple, the guy who cut off the ear, the guy who says, Jesus, I'll never deny you, and he did. Peter is the one who wrote this. Now, we really couldn't have anyone better to write about Christianity than Peter. And the reason is because he had first-hand knowledge of everything. He heard the narrative of Jesus being born, but he was there for the 3.5 years of Christ's ministry. He heard him teach. He walked with him. He talked with him. He saw him heal the sick, raise the dead. He also was privy to all the backroom conversations, the private things, the things that nobody else got to see. And so Peter has a great understanding. He's an eyewitness. In fact, he makes that statement in verse 16. He says, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's an eyewitness. He says, we didn't make this up. This isn't something that, we were trying to trick you with. He says, I have firsthand knowledge. And when you think about it, Jesus dying and raising from the dead, that narrative in the natural seems to be a pretty far-fetched claim, doesn't it? Someone raising from the dead. No other world religious leader has ever made that claim of the major religions. Not Buddha, not Confucius. None of the leaders have made that claim that they have. Now, they maybe say, I'm reincarnated, I've come back, but they haven't come back as themselves. Friends, Jesus came back as himself. He rose from the dead. And Peter says, this is not some cleverly concocted tale, the miracles and all the things Jesus did. This is real, this is true, and he should know because he was an eyewitness. So as we continue to read in verse 1, he says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. How many realize there's different kinds of faith? There's many different world religions, different faiths that are out there. It was in those days that Peter was writing, many people worshiped the gods and goddesses of Rome. There was also, you had Jews that were still holding on to Judaism, the Old Testament law. That was the way that salvation came. They didn't realize that the Old Testament law and all the ceremonies and the rituals were really kind of just pointing to Jesus. They were shadow pictures of Christ and also teaching a moral understanding of what God required. They didn't understand that. So there was that faith. In India and in the Far East, you had Hinduism and Buddhism. Then about 600 years later, Islam came about. Peter, in these next few verses, he's going to distinguish the Christian faith, the genuine faith, from all other faiths. And as he's saying, hey, I'm writing to those who are Christians who have the same faith as I do. Then he's going to describe it. And there are two distinct differences in how Christianity differs from world religions. Number one this morning is the question of who is Jesus? That's the first question. Who is Jesus? Now, in Christianity, Peter says here that Jesus is our God and Savior. He says in chapter 1, he says, to those who receive the faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter says that Jesus is God. He says Jesus is God. He is 100% God. He's not part God and part human. Okay, he's not 50-50, he's 100% God, and he's 100% man. You could say Jesus is the only 200% person who has ever lived, okay? But he's all God, he's all man, and he always has been God. It's not like he was God in heaven, and then he stopped being God at some time, and he became God later. No, Jesus, as the Son of God, left heaven, came to earth. He lived among us, so he knows what it's like to be human. He was tempted in every point as you and I are, so he can empathize with us. He knows what we're going through, and then he died for us. So Jesus is God in human form. That's what Peter is saying. Now, the rest of the world religions, they say that Jesus was not God, but he was a good man. He was a teacher. He was a prophet. In Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe he was a man that attained enlightenment, or that he was a great prophet, a great teacher, and they even will recognize he did miracles. But they deny the deity of Jesus, that he was God. Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus is Michael the Archangel who came to earth. That's how they define him. Friends, any religion that denies the God, that Jesus was God, the deity of Jesus, is a false religion. And there may be truth in that religion, but it is not total truth. And so disregard that religion, because Jesus is God. And to say otherwise, you can't depend on what is that saying. You know, have you ever seen a counterfeit bill? A counterfeit bill looks genuine on a lot of things. It looks really good, but it's not genuine. It's not the real thing. And many of the false religions, they look good on the outside. There's many things that even line up with the Bible and what Christianity teaches about God and about life. But because they're not all truth, they're counterfeit and they're worthless. So the first thing to recognize when you're looking at a religion or someone teaching is, who do they say Jesus is? If they deny that Jesus is God, then you don't want to follow their teaching, because Peter realizes there are false teachers that are going to try to lead people away from the genuine same kind of faith that he has. The second thing that distinguishes Christianity from all world religions is, what makes a person good? What makes a person good? All of the major world religions have some kind of end, desired goal in mind. For Christianity, it is what? Help me preach here. What's our end, our goal? That we die, yes, we die and we go to heaven, okay? In Hinduism, it's nirvana, enlightenment, oneness with Brahman, okay? Buddhism uses the same terms, however, theirs is oneness with the universe. Their terms mean something different. And in Islam, their goal is paradise. Now, the million-dollar question, you know, who wants to be a millionaire? That million-dollar question, that big question is, how do you attain the desired goal of that religion? How do you attain heaven? How do you attain paradise? How do you attain nirvana? How good do you have to be? What makes us good? And when you look at all of the world religions, they all basically say the same thing: man's works is what makes you good enough. Your good deeds. In Hinduism, it's karma, the sum of a person's actions from this existence and all previous existences, that decides the fate of your future existences, okay? Seems a little confusing? It is. You keep going through life over and over and over until you get it right in their mind, okay? Buddhism follows karma, but also the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. It's about what you do. In Islam, they believe if your good works outweigh your bad works, and then Allah has to have a good day and likes you when you appear at heaven's, at paradise's gate, okay? And if he likes you and your good works outweigh the bad, then you're in. in Catholicism and many mainline denominations, it's water baptism and then many other rituals and things that the church teaches. And you need to follow those sacraments, those things. And if you do all the things and you're a good person and you know, attend church regularly, and if the good outweighs the bad, then you're in. There is one problem with all of these, one dilemma they have, and that's you don't know if you pass the test until you've died. And after you've died, there's nothing more you can do to pass the test. There is no certainty in the world religions that when you die, you're going to go to heaven or paradise or nirvana or whatever their goal is. Now, there is no such thing as paradise, nirvana, enlightenment, all those things. There is heaven. Those others are counterfeits. They're not genuine and real. But in their mind, they have no certainty. They go through their entire life hoping that they're good enough, but their hope is really wishful thinking. But as a Christian, our hope of heaven is a solid guarantee that you and I can stand on. That is the beautiful thing about Christianity. You see, in Christianity, our works don't make us good enough. We don't have to wonder if we've done enough good works. In Christianity, it's Christ's work that makes us good enough. It's what Jesus did for us on the cross. Someone once said, how do you get to heaven? And they said, the world's religions spell getting to heaven, do, D-O. It's what you do. But in Christianity, it's called done, D-O-N. It's what Jesus has done on the cross. We see this also in the first verse of 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, to those who've received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. We receive a relationship with God by the righteousness of Jesus, not by our righteousness. We are not good enough to work our way into heaven. We're not good enough to work our way into heaven. One of my favorite illustrations, because some people say, well, if I just do enough good things, then I can get to heaven. How many times a day does the average person sin? What do you think? A lot, okay? Let's say someone only sins 3 times a day, okay? That would be pretty low down on the scale, correct? 3 times a day, you know? Well, at the end of 1 year, how many times have you sinned? 3 times 365 is over 1,000 times. Now, how many years does the normal person live? 70, 80 years? 1,000 times 70. I know it's summertime. Help me with my math here. Well, how much is that? 70,000, okay? Can you imagine a person standing before a human judge with 70,000 crimes against the law? What's going to happen to that person? One of two things. It's either death or a life sentence, okay? But either way, you're not getting out of it, okay? They get the death penalty or a life sentence because that person has no redeeming value to society if they're doing 70,000 horrible, heinous crimes. And yet, friends, sometimes we think, if I stand before a pure, perfect, holy, righteous God in heaven with my good life of 3 sins a day, 70,000 sins in my lifetime, that this perfect, pure, holy judge is going to say, oh, you're good. You are a good person. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Friends, we are not good. I got to see my twin grandsons. They're adorable. I'll show you pictures next week, okay? But they're about 9.5 months, and they were playing together, and it's like they got into a few little fights, you know. They can't say mine, but boy, they sure know how to act it out. I mean, you can see that selfish nature. One has what I want it, and they take it away. That is something all of us are born with. My daughter is going to have to teach them how to share. They've got selfishness down, just as all of us have had to teach our kids and our grandkids how to share. We don't have to teach how to be selfish because it's our nature, and we have to realize we are not good in and of ourselves. We can't work our way to heaven. There's too much against us. But friends, Jesus loved us, and Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was perfect, pure, and holy, and he died for us. You see, Ezekiel chapter 18, 20 says, "The soul who sins shall die." We deserve death, and the wages of sin is death, but Jesus did not deserve to die because he was perfect and pure, and he died on the cross for you and me. And so Jesus came to earth in human form. He took our death penalty and he died. And he, when we put our faith in him, not in our works, then he gives us his righteousness. So when God looks at us, he's not seeing our good works. He sees the perfection of Jesus. The Apostle Paul taught that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, when he said, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that none of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So the two main things that distinguishes Christianity from all other world religions, what are they? Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. And then what makes us good? And it's the righteousness of Christ, not our good works. Those are the two things that distinguish Christianity from world religions. And just as Paul talked about, "For by grace you've been saved through faith," we see in verse 2 here in 2 Peter 1, Peter talks about grace because he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." I love how Peter combines grace and peace because he realizes as a Christian, you can have peace about when you die. You don't have to wonder, am I good enough? Have I done enough in this life to compensate for my sin? Have I followed the eightfold path or whatever it is? Have I done enough to compensate for all the wrong that I've done? You don't have to worry about it because you're not depending on your works. You realize you're depending on the righteousness of Christ that he's given you, and you're good enough to go to heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. And so we have that. And Peter goes on to say that in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, what name does Peter call Jesus here? Lord, right? That's what he calls him. He calls him Lord. Lord is a Bible term that means leader. And that brings us to our third point, because we're going to talk about the basics of Christianity. The first basic of Christianity is Jesus is God. He loves us, died for our sins. Secondly, he saved us by God's grace, not our works. The third point is grace gives us peace that we will go to heaven, but grace is not a pass just to keep on sinning. You see, I have known some people, well, if I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin, then I'm righteous. Now I can just go on and live the way I want to live. It's a pass to keep on sinning. Paul says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No way, Jose. What we need to do is to make Jesus our Lord. That's what Peter calls him here. The term Lord is a Bible term. It means leader. So Jesus is our leader. He's in charge of my life. He's the one who calls the shots. So I obey him and I follow him. That's why our mission as the church is we want to help all people not just find Jesus, but to follow Jesus. That's our mission at Casper Faith, to help everyone find and follow the two F's. Somebody have that memorized by now? Raise both hands, one for find, one for follow. Okay, that's about 50%. We're going to have to work on you, all right? Say find and follow. Yes, we want everyone to find and follow Jesus. The fourth basic of Christianity is that when we become Christians, we receive God's divine nature by the Holy Spirit living in us. We receive God's divine nature by the Holy Spirit living in you and I. We see this in verse 3 and 4 of chapter 1, when Peter says, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us," listen to this, "everything pertaining to life and godliness." I love that. As a Christian, God has given you and me everything we need for this life. Every situation you encounter, God has given it to you in the person of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside, and He gives us a new nature. And so now we have this relationship with God. We are so blessed. And Peter says, man, God has given you everything you need to live a godly life, everything to make it through this worldly life, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Friends, when Peter says you are partakers of the divine nature, he does not mean that you and I have become gods, okay? Some of you say, rats, I want to be a god. No, none of us are gods. There is only one God. There is no God before Him. There is no God formed after Him. There is only one God in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't become God. That's what many of the world religions and the cults teach. You can become enlightened. You can become a god. You can be more than just a human. Friends, we'll never be more than just a human, but we can have our relationship with God restored. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the relationship with God. God created mankind in His image. But when they sinned, their relationship was separated. And so that's why mankind's been trying to gain that relationship with God by doing all these things. But friends, it's not a religion what you do. We have relationship. God wants to be your friend. I know in the church that I grew up in, God being a friend was kind of foreign. God seemed like He was a million miles away. You see, I was religious. We went to church all the time, did all the things that our church said to do, been baptized, went to communion, did all the things, and yet God still seemed a million miles away. Why was that? It's because we were trying to do good works, and good works don't repair the relationship with God. We had to put our faith not in what we did, but what Christ did. And friends, when we did that, all of a sudden, Jesus seemed real. Jesus became up close and personal. And I had a relationship with God. I knew there was something different when I confessed that I was a sinner and I put Christ in charge of my life. It's awesome. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. And I can't tell you, it just gets better and better all the time. You want to be a follower of Jesus. There is nothing like a relationship with God. Is everything perfect? No. Do all your problems go away when you become a Christian? No. Sometimes they amplify because the devil puts a bullseye on you because he doesn't want you to follow Christ. But friends, that relationship is real. And that's what Peter's talking about. You're partakers of the divine nature. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And you have this relationship with God. The Holy Spirit gives us the presence of God. He is with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He gives us power to live a victorious life, victorious over temptation, victorious over depression, over doubt, over fear, over anxiety, over addictions. The Holy Spirit gives us the promises of God. He makes God's Word, when we read it, and it comes alive. He reveals it to us, and it helps us to walk with God and to be comforted and encouraged and strengthened. And the Holy Spirit gives us guidance. Guidance to make decisions, to know what to do. It's a relationship that goes on and on. What a beautiful thing it is to be a follower of Jesus. And then the last basic of Christianity this morning is that we passionately pursue growth in our relationship with God. We passionately pursue growth in our relationship with God. And that's found in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, also for this very reason, giving all diligence. The word diligence is a Greek noun, spoude, and it means speed. It is related to the Greek word speedo, okay? Now, what do you think of, and really you don't want to think of it, but what comes to mind when you say the word speedo, huh? Yeah, the Olympics, you know, or like my wife and I, for our 30th anniversary, we went to Cancun, and there were some guys in speedos that should not have been in speedos. It's like, oh, Jesus, you know. Yeah, quit. I'm going to quit. I was going to say that's the picture Peter's painting, but there were no speedos back in Peter's day. But you see, baggy swimming trunks cause drag in the water, and that's why swimmers wear speedos for speed. And Peter is saying, give all speed to your faith. Give all diligence to your faith. Here's the thing. God does not want you and I to be slow and lazy in our relationship with Him. He wants us to give all speed to growing our relationship with Christ. And you see, that's something sometimes people don't realize, that, well, I give my life to Christ, and then, well, Jesus is there when I have a problem. Jesus is there when I need guidance. Jesus is there when I need provision. But, you know, I'm going to still kind of do my own thing. Peter says, hey, God wants you to give all speed to this new relationship you have, that you're supposed to be growing. In the rest of verse 5, 6, and 7, he's going to say, you need to add these things to your faith. We're not going to look at those today. We're just going to take those, set them on the shelf. We're going to look at them next week as we talk about growth. How do we really grow? How do we add speed in growing and increasing in our relationship with Jesus? But the point that I want to get to today is that we've got to make a choice to grow. We have got to add the effort, the energy, the zeal, the eagerness, the passion to be growing in our relationship with Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. Give all speed, all diligence to your faith. That's what our student athletes are doing right now as they're entering their sports seasons. They're going to early morning workouts, early morning weightlifting. I remember when my daughter was a freshman in high school and she joined the swim team, and they had to be in the water at 5:30, okay? Not showing up at the gym, but ready to go in the water at 5:30. And as a freshman, she doesn't have her driver's license yet. So take a guess who's taking her. Dad's taking her. I was so thankful when she got her driver's license. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But that's what our students are doing. They are putting in time. They're pumping iron. They're studying the playbook. They're giving all diligence to grow in their sport. Our musicians, our band students, they're memorizing their music. They are doing their field routines. They're going out earlier, working late at night. They're spending hours on the field, giving all speed, all diligence. Why? So they can grow, so they can become better. That's what they're doing. And friends, that same commitment that our athletes and that our musicians are giving, that's the same kind of commitment, same kind of energy that Peter is calling out the body, the bride of Christ, to give to their relationship. Don't be slow and apathetic and lazy. Because, you know, sometimes it's easy to become complacent. Sometimes we get knocked down by life. We just keep getting hit and hit and hit, and we get weary. It's like the breakthrough song we sang today. I am weary from the waves that just keep crashing over and over and over every day. We kind of feel like, man, what's the word? What is it good does it do to pray? What good is it to read the Bible? And so we can allow the pain and the pressures of life to slow down and stop giving speed to our relationship. Or some Christians, are caught up in carnality. It's not that they're hurt and they're complacent, they're carnal. They're so wrapped up in this world, their career, making money, getting to the next position, working their way up the totem pole, trying to climb to the top rung of the ladder in their field or earn their degree, whatever it is. I know as a student, it was easy to get caught up in all the activities, the sports, football, debate, chorus, band, all the things, and just kind of put my relationship with Jesus on the side. I don't have to engage in God's word. I'll just read a few minutes here, but I'm not really breaking the bread of life and having a meal. I'm not spending a lot of time in prayer, and we can do that in our walk with God, is that we're just going through the week, maybe just having a little snippet here and there, but we're really not giving all speed, all diligence to growing in this relationship that God has given us. And we miss out on so much. In the movie Rocky II, from the first fight with Apollo Creed, Rocky, and he had been, as he was a left-handed boxer, so what he would do is he would keep his right ups and jab so he could deliver that knockout punch, but his right side was exposed, and coming from a right-handed fighter, he had been hit many times and he had lost a lot of his peripheral vision, and he was being challenged by Apollo to a rematch, to a second fight, and his trainer says, "You can't do it." And Rocky pleaded with him. And finally he says, "Okay, you have to become a right-handed fighter. You, instead of being the power puncher with your left, you now have to make it with your right. You need to protect your eye. You also have to go from being a bruiser to becoming fast, to becoming a speed boxer." And his trainer said, "You need greasy lightning speed." That's what Mick said. If you've seen the scene, you know where I'm going with it. And he wanted him to chase a chicken. They had a pen kind of built between two brick buildings in downtown Philadelphia. And he says, "I want you to chase this chicken." And Rocky says, "I don't want to chase no chicken, Mick. Chase the chicken, stupid. Well, I got to chase the chicken. Because it'll make you speed. It'll give you greasy lightning speed." And Rocky's chasing the chicken all around. And he says, "I feel like a Kentucky Fried idiot." You know, there are sometimes we've been chasing God in our relationship, and yet we feel like Kentucky Fried idiots because we feel like it's not working, it's not happening. But you know, Rocky kept chasing that chicken, and later on in the movie you see where he caught the chicken, and he's celebrating and rejoicing. And friends, the thing is, chasing the chicken gave him the speed that made him a champion to defeat his enemy. And when you and I give all speed, give diligence, give passion, it makes us champions to defeat our enemy. All speed, give all diligence, accelerate your spiritual growth. But friends, it's your choice. It's your choice. No one can decide for you, are you going to chase the chicken? Are you going to get up early so you can get into the Bible, so you can read, so you can pray, and you're not just praying prayers, "God, give me this, give me that, give me this, help my kids, protect me there." No, "God, help me to build your kingdom. You're my Lord. You're the King. You want your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. So God, help me now to build your kingdom, to do what you want me to do." Because God wants you and I to influence the radius of our relationships for Him. We're not just still here on planet Earth to come to church on Sunday morning. "Oh, that was beautiful worship. That was a great word. Man, that was so awesome." Friends, we are still here on Earth to reach this world. But to do it, we need speed. We need to devote ourselves to our relationship with Jesus. Would you bow with me this morning as we pray? Jesus, I thank you for giving us a relationship with you. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, your suffering, your pain, and your death. Help us to give all speed as we go after our relationship with you. Some of you here this morning, or maybe you're watching online, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not sure about God. You've been searching, you've been asking questions. Maybe some of you come from a different religion, a different background. Maybe it's a Christian background, but it's a mainline denomination, and your concept of God and Christianity was, I've got to do good works. I've got to do more good. The good needs to outweigh the bad, but you know something's missing. You don't have that certainty. You don't have that peace with God. Maybe some of you come from Buddhism, Hinduism, or another religion, and it's all been about what you do. And it's not about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Friends, God loves you. He loves you so much that He did not want you to spend eternity in hell after you died, but He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you so that if you turn from your sin, if you confess your sin and confess Jesus as your Lord, as your leader, God will wash you of your sin. He will give you His Holy Spirit. You'll become a partaker of the divine nature. You'll have a new life and you'll have a relationship with God. If you're here this morning and you want to become a follower of Jesus, you've never received Christ as your forgiver and as your leader, I'd like you just to raise your hand. Just lift your hand up high. Anyone here this morning? For those of you watching at home on television or your device, just raise your hand right now to God and say, God, I want to become a follower of Jesus. Some of us here today, we have a relationship with God. We are Christ followers. But we have been slow in our pursuit of God. We're not giving all speed. We're just jogging. We're haphazard in our personal time of prayer and God's Word. We do a little bit here and a little bit there, but we're not consistent. You know, if our athletes and musicians, if they just did a little bit here and there, they would never get strong. They'd never have speed. They'd never become champions. It's in that consistency, and some of us need to pick up our pace. Some of us, we do have it, but we're easily distracted, and we need to be more focused on our time with God. Some of us, we just make it through the week, but we're not really making a difference for God. And we need to pick up the pace and say, I need to be focused on being that influence for Jesus Christ to build the kingdom. Some of you here today, you're slow to obey. God's speaking to you and you're walking in rebellion to God. You're just doing your own thing. And you need to start obeying. You need to recommit your life to Christ. If you're here this morning, you need to say, I'm choosing today to give all speed. I want to pursue God with all diligence. I want you just to raise your hand. How many followers of Jesus? I'm giving all speed. Just put your hand up high. Maybe you've been doing it and you're saying, I'm making a recommitment. I'm going to continue being speedy. Some of you are saying, I'm going to up my game. That's awesome. Thank you. I'm going to say this prayer. I'd like all of us to repeat it together and apply the parts of this prayer that apply to your life. Let's pray together. Jesus, I know I have sinned, and I can't save myself. My works don't cut it. You died for me. Forgive me for all I've done wrong. I accept your leadership. You are in charge. I will follow you. I want a relationship with you. I love you, Jesus. I give you all speed. I will passionately pursue growth. Thank you for all you've done for me. Help me give my all for you. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.